asked to speak about essentials of salvation and pretty much of standing over on this side to direct my attention to those of the younger generation. As I looked at it, I said, what can I possibly pass on to you that will ensure your salvation? And that pretty much is an impossible thing to answer. For each of us must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as we know. What I can give you is things that I have learned over the years. Perhaps I can pass on some thoughts to the young in the truth and those yet to decide, and I can assist you. Perhaps words you can use in your own journey through the wilderness that is called civilization and keep you in line with Yahweh's commandments. So we'll begin with the assumption that you all have the basics. Most people do. It's like the seed that was sown. The word is there in the scriptures for everybody to read, for the whole world to see. To read it is not that difficult, and to understand it either. But what keeps you and I aligned with the foundation? What keeps that seed growing and the soil always prepared? So what can I say to you that is not the doctrine, that it is not the doctrine that becomes a stumbling block to one's journey? Oh, sure, eventually the truth will be distorted, as it always does, but it doesn't start at that point. It is a failure to grasp the significance in applying spiritual principles in our life. A life in Christ is far more than just learning the details. For the Israelites got bogged down on the details and forgot that, as we read in Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Or in Proverbs 21:3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to Yahweh than sacrifice. These are action words, justice and judgment over the actions of sacrifice. And even the sign we have posted in front of us that we read each time we come into this chapel, one that we read, buy the truth and do not sell it, wisdom and instruction and understanding. So we have a sequence, truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. A simple statement, but one that takes a lifetime to complete. How does one buy or acquire these four items? Everyone has choices in life. It's wisdom that we have to consider here this morning. It is wisdom that is required. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Paul there is quoting from Job, where Job 5:13 says, he takes the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. So to begin, we must understand the wisdom of Yahweh. It all starts at the very beginning. To deny creation will prevent one from any further, from getting any further. From denying the creation, you cannot go any further. Jeremiah 51:15 states, he has made the earth by his power and has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his understanding. The wisdom of Yahweh is responsible for everything that we see around us, what the world calls Mother Nature. So it is critical that each of us must, without question, believe what Yahweh has created. It is not Mother Nature, or what the world tends to call now the universe, what the universe has in store for us. That's not the thinking that leads to a correct understanding. Everyone wakes each day with a choice and chooses which of many paths to follow that day. Do we focus the day that Yahweh has provided for us, a day that we will spend with him and with the desire to please him, or a desire to please the world? You can see it in your neighbors, following one fashion, one political view, based on what fancies them, or what profits them, or what has offended them. It is very difficult dealing with them, as one never knows who they will be today. But aren't we much different today than those of the first century? And even from the days of our pioneer brothers? We are very much changed by the world through technology and what is called advancements. Most of these changes would be considered essential. Microsoft did a survey about 20 years ago. They found that the attention span at that time was 15 seconds. They repeated it a few years ago and found the attention span is now 8 seconds due to technology. They also examined nature and found that the attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. It has been found in a survey by Microsoft the attention span is 8 seconds, in case you dozed off there for a second. Some call this progress. Our pioneer brothers and sisters lived in a completely different era than us. That's a lifespan. Didn't pronounce it right for the Americans. They lived in a completely different time, but the truth was the same. They lived in an era without indoor facilities that we all have. It was a time of the train, the horse, the buggy, the stagecoach. Cooking was done on a wood stove. There was no central heat or AC. Water, it came in pails. Light came from oil lamps. It was the same time that Wyatt Earp was shooting it out in the OK Corral. But still, the truth is the same, or it should be. From the first day of creation to today, the truth of Yahweh is the same. This is read before, and we all responded to it. Joshua 24:15. We have choices. Joshua says, and if it seems evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. That is the choice we have to make. And once a choice is made, we have to stick to it. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. A cycle of growth that never ends. Although it can be interpreted from time to time, interrupted, we get distracted and drawn away by the enticing aspects of this world. Being off track is very subtle. Do a lot of time on the water. There's no white line in the water, so it's hard to find out exactly where you are. You set a compass course, and you want to go straight ahead to that destination. The heading remains constant, but because of current forces, distractions, we can follow the same compass heading, but drift off course. Eventually, we are so far off to the side, one has to decide whether to get back on course or select a new destination. We are still tracking the same course, but are way off course. If that condition exists long enough, we select another destination, perhaps. It is easier to do that than to get back on track. Have we not seen so many of us who used to sit here in the audience with us get off track and select a new destination because it was easier? Thus we gather each week to check our course against his instructions and with each other, verifying that we are all on the same track. We tend to warn each other about worldly problems. Many times on the boat we hear over the radio someone frantically calling to another vessel on the radio, VHF-16, asking them or telling them that the course they're on is heading for rocks. We hear the words, it's shallow over there, you don't really want to be on that course, whoever that boat is, trying to identify them and keep them off course. Now, why would they do that? It has no bearing on them. Yet the boat that they're talking to is appreciative of that request. They usually respond and figure out where they are and get back on course. Why do we take offense when we are told to get back on course? Why don't we take offense when going down the highway, someone flashes their lights at us, as it happened when we were coming down here. There was a whole row of traffic on 65 flashing their lights at us. Did I get offended and say, why are they doing that? Would they stop that nonsense? I'm okay. I'm doing my own thing. But no, you get worried, you slow down, you wonder, why are these total strangers trying to help me? And then we got to the top of the hill. We saw some farmer dropped a whole roll of hay in the center of the road, and it became evident of why they were warning us. Why do we warn each other and take offense? We must continue to find evidence of Yahweh in our daily life. How do we do that? How do we assure ourselves that Yahweh is truly working in our life and helping us? I had a personal story, probably at the right time in my life when I thought I was invincible. Still have those ideas every once in a while till my body falls apart. Many years ago, I was hiking with a younger brother, and it was hot. And as you know, I don't do too well in the heat. It was expected to be cold, so we were hiking with 50-pound packs on a trail. We're doing about 20, 25 kilometers. Second day in, I wasn't doing so well. I was feeling nauseous, sort of cold and achy. So I said, I'm going to turn around and go back. This is, you go on ahead. I'll continue. I'll go back to the car, spend a night in the woods, and then get back to the car and figure out what's going on. We were drinking lots of water, but subsequently found out that electrolyte is also important in your life. On the way back, as I coming up to a clearing, I remember walking down this little hill saying, I just got to get to that clearing. Anyway, when I got there, there was a gentleman just packing up his bag, and he was going to head off on a trail that went off to the right. The trail back is straight ahead for me. The only person we've seen in the whole weekend we're out. So he put down his pack and gave me some salt and some water and prepared a meal for me. So you could think that's just an example of an excuse. I said, okay, that's just chance. Someone was there and they helped me. Talking to him a bit longer, I found out that he worked for Brother Don Elliott. He was a direct report to him. And that might sound like a bit of a coincidence, but Don Elliott was the father-in-law of the person I was hiking with. So it puts it all together. Each of us must look to the examples in our life where we are saved by the hand of Yahweh. Let us look for a short period of Psalm 111 for a short minute to set the stage for this next section. Psalm 111 reads, praise ye Yahweh. I will praise Yahweh with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Do we praise Yahweh? The work of Yahweh are great, sought out by all them that have pleasure therein. Do we seek out the works of Yahweh? His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wondrous works to be remembered. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion. He has given meat unto them that fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant, the covenant to us. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the inheritance of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity or faithfulness. Do we realize that? And judgment. And his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Wisdom that we are to look forward to comes first from the fear of Yahweh. So we look to Yahweh. In our own way, we must search out the evidence of Yahweh in this world, to look at his creation with all its hints of perfection that existed from the beginning. This is difficult if we have wrapped our life around what man has created. Are you more afraid in the forest alone or in the city among all the people? a question each of us must ponder. It is difficult if we wrap our life around what man has created. The question to answer is, do I rely on Yahweh to provide, or do I rely on my own hand first? When I grew up, I was fortunate to live in a house by a ravine with a creek in the bottom, so I could enjoy the sights and sounds of the water and the animals in that creek. These are the things created by the Almighty. Here you are blessed with a world around us called nature in Arkansas. This thing called nature is the remnants of creation. Can you see it this way? Can you look at nature and see the creative wonders that Yahweh has done? Many here today work in the land and do recognize that Yahweh is behind the seed that grows and produces the food. But some may find that all that stuff gets in the way of a commute to work. Today we would call Job a farmer, a person who worked the land for crops and livestock. Job recognized the wisdom of Yahweh. He said in chapter 12, verse 13, "With him are wisdom and powerful deeds, and to him belong counsel and understanding, the things we are to buy." Job saw this in the works that Yahweh accomplished in creation, and the relationship between each of the days of creation, the infinite complexity of creation demonstrating the wisdom of Yahweh. So where are we to find this wisdom? The wisdom of Yahweh. Job recorded it, so I get to once more my favorite passage. Job recorded in 12, verse 7 to 10, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, and the birds of the heaven, and they will tell you, or the earth, and it will teach you, and the fishes of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that Yahweh's hand has done this? And in whose hand is the life of every living creature and the breath of every human being?" It is all around us, if we just but look. This is the beginning of wisdom, to understand the example, to examine the world that was made for evidence of the hand of Yahweh, the colors used, the symmetry in the leaves, the process of growth from a seed to a mighty tree. Everything in the forest points to the wisdom of Yahweh in its design and its ability to reproduce and the harmony that exists within it. Jeremiah 51:15, "He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. And he has stretched out the heavens by his understanding." So the beginning of wisdom is a realization that Yahweh has made all this. We can share the wisdom of Hezekiah when he prayed to Yahweh. He said in 2 Kings 19:15, he said, "O Yahweh, God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth." What he meant, power, way beyond what we can comprehend. We can see the evidence and the power and realize the power that is required to accomplish it. Should we ignore such power or fear it? But what does the scriptures say? Back to Job. In 28:28, he says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Proverbs repeats that in 9 and 10. "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So once we begin to appreciate what Yahweh has created, then we realize that this realization must generate in us a great fear of his power. This fear of his greatness is indeed the first step to wisdom. What comes next? From this essential beginning, and it's essential that we understand this is the beginning, We are now prepared to examine the political world around us. We can examine current events of this world and see the hand of Yahweh working out his plan. Once we have begun the process of acquiring wisdom and understand that Yahweh has created all the natural things, then we can with confidence examine his word and discover his plan for the people of this world. Nebuchadnezzar was made to understand that Yahweh rules. We know the story, Daniel 5:21, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was like the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men, and that he appoints over whosoever he will. So at the time, the most powerful ruler on earth, Nebuchadnezzar, was made to see first the natural world and come to an understanding of who controls it. Then the political, with the knowledge that Yahweh is in control of that too. Only once he understood the natural order of the world could he properly be prepared to understand the political world and who sets in motion both. For us to do this successfully, we must understand first that Yahweh is responsible for the creation of all we see, and second, his plan for the world and his covenanted people. The twofold process, first, his promise to those falling under covenant, and second, to the roadmap that will lead his people to the kingdom, including the path that the nations of the world will take. So looking to Yahweh, we are blessed. Psalm 41, 2-3. Yahweh protects him and keeps him alive. He is blessed in the land, and you do not give him into the will of his enemies. Yahweh sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore to health. So wherever we go, Yahweh will keep us and sustain us. Psalm 118, 6. David says, Yahweh is for me, I do not fear. What can mere humans do to me? Yahweh is on our side, there is nothing to fear. This instills confidence. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Or Hebrews 13:6. So then we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Belief, in spite of what may appear obvious to men. Think of the crossing of the Red Sea over dry land, the destruction of the Syrian army. Nothing is impossible or hopeless. Jeremiah again in 33:20-21. Thus saith Yahweh, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should be no day and no night in their season, then may also my covenant with David be broken. He should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So Yahweh states simply that creation of day and night is his. Obviously, a belief that he did those things is essential to connect to the covenant promise of the Son of David. You must see that the beginning of the wisdom starts in the days of creation. If you don't believe the first that both day and night are from the hand of Yahweh, how can you believe in the covenants? Without the foundation of the words of Yahweh are weak. And you can easily be led astray down another path. There is no alternative to understanding the creation process correctly. So we ought to praise Yahweh. Without confidence in Yahweh, praise is not possible. Demonstration of our belief that Yahweh is the creator and that he does protect his people. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Deuteronomy 6:4 and 5, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God is one. Yahweh is one God. And thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Praise originates with the individual, but finds fuller expression in a community of like-minded individuals. Do we spend more time with people that are not of like mind? Do we seek out association with people that do not share the same principles as expressed in the foundation documents? When we work with people that do not praise Yahweh, are we uncomfortable? Do we desire to escape at the earliest time and search out those who desire to praise Yahweh? We praise with our voice. Psalm 9:11, sing praises to Yahweh, which dwells in Zion. Declare among his people his doings. We sing praises with our heart. I will thank Yahweh with my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Do we do this? Do we know what his wonderful deeds are, starting with creation? What deeds was David eager to tell the world about? What deeds has Yahweh done for each of us? Will we tell the world about these wonderful things? And we can praise with our thoughts. Deuteronomy 4:6. And you must observe them diligently, for that is your wisdom and your insight before the eyes of the people, who will hear all of your rules, and they will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. Deuteronomy 4:36. For the heavens he made, you hear his voice to teach you, and on the earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from the midst of the fire. Do we repeat in our own mind and our thoughts the words of Yahweh? 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. For the wisdom of this world, it is to remove Yahweh from the equation. This verse is typically translated to be only referring to religious matters. This once again contradicts the wisdom shown by Job that the hand of Yahweh began with creation and continues into every breath that we take. Did we invent science, medicine, astronomy, mathematics, law, or trade? Is a study of any of these subjects foolishness? Well, not really, no. If we remain steadfast in the understanding that the origin of each and every one of these is from Yahweh. As knowledge increases, we reward those who discovered these new things while the Creator is ignored. This is foolishness with God. This arrogance of those who place the discoveries of medicine, science, and astronomy, and all the others, as their own invention, ignore all things were set in motion from the beginning, that is considered by Yahweh as folly. 1 Corinthians 1:20-21. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom of this world considers the teaching of anything to do with religion foolish and a waste of time. It is those that adhere to the truth that Yahweh has chosen to save. Jeremiah 9:24. But only in this, the one who boasts, that he has insight and that he knows me, that I am Yahweh, showing mercy, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares Yahweh. Remember the words of Peter and John where he was asked, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the word of eternal life. Peter shows true wisdom when he correctly stated, Lord, to whom would we go? So believe first. Before you worry about what many consider the essentials of life. What kind of wisdom is this? Is it the wisdom that confounds the world, yet leads one to eternal life? It's a Hebrew idiom that states, good is the enemy of best. Many companies have similar statements to that. It comes from Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve or determine what is superior, in order that you may be sincere and blameless in the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So literally this means, with a view to you proving, and so approving and embracing the things that excel, not merely things that are not bad, but things best among those that are good. These things, the things that are more excellent. Ask as to the things, not merely is there no harm, but is there any good, and what is best? So that you'll be able to determine what is best, instead of pursuing what is adequate, yet falls short of the highest standard. The good is the enemy of the best. Thus be pure and without blame for the day of the Messiah. There's some warnings. Caution not to become arrogant in this new position apart from the world. The Wednesday class was studying Corinthians and was brought up already once. Paul states, separate, slightly different version to read from to add some flavor to it. Paul states, are you already satiated? Already are you rich? Apart from us, you reign as kings. What would indeed you reign as kings, in order that we also may reign as kings with you? Paul is obviously using irony here, and the translation might go as follows. Already you are filled full with spiritual food. Already you are rich. You have seated yourselves upon the thrones as kings without us. The emphasis is on already and without us. You act as if you need no more to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as if you already had reached the kingdom for which we have to strive and suffer. He's implying you are so puffed up with your favorite teachers and your own fancy spiritual attainments and knowledge through them that you feel like those filled full at the feast, or as a rich man priding himself in his riches. So you feel you can now do without us. You think you need no further instruction. They are like the self-complacent Laodiceans. Revelation 3:17, because you are saying, I am rich, and I have become rich, and I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. Such actions and thoughts show that they have adopted the wisdom of the world and have left the wisdom from Yahweh, that is from above. The wisdom of Yahweh is expressed in the desire to hunger and thirst after truth. Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. The wisdom that we desire comes from the spiritual food. Then wisdom of Yahweh that we desire will provide all our physical needs. Wisdom comes from Yahweh, and we have a choice to search out this wisdom from the world or from the scriptures, the words of man or the words of Yahweh. This is why I find it essential that I continue to search out the evidence of the hand of Yahweh in creation, to search for his wisdom, because there is a constant effort from the message broadcast by the world that science, technology, and philosophy has made any spiritual thinking meaningless and even harmful by the modern liberal thinking world. In conclusion, can we all spend our days in a continual search for evidence of Yahweh in our lives, in the world around us, in the things that he has created, in the political environment that he has put in place. This way we will find wisdom that is from Yahweh. It will be contrary to the wisdom of this world, but doing so will strengthen our faith. Doing this will help keep our focus on preparation for the day that the bridegroom returns. What about the nations around us? What of their power and their technology? Who would not revere you, O kings of the nations? What is then the end of the wisdom of the world? Jeremiah 10, verse 7 to 15, slightly different translation. Read those for you. For you it is fitting, for among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. At the same time, they are stupid and foolish. In instruction of idols, it is wood. Silver beaten from Tarshish is brought, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsman and the hands of the goldsmith. Blue and purple are their clothing. All of them are the work of skillful people. But Yahweh is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. Because of his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his anger. Thus you shall say to them, gods who did not make heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He is the maker of the earth by his power, who created the world by his wisdom and his understanding. He stretches out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a noise of water in the heavens. He causes the mist to rise from the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he causes the wind to go out from his storehouses. Everyone is stupid without knowledge. Every goldsmith is ashamed by his divine image, for his cast image is an illusion. There is no breath in them. They are vanity, a work of mockery. At a time of their punishment, they will perish. The last we want to look at is Psalm 118, verses 1 to 29. We'll read that together. See how many times the name of Yahweh is called upon. Let this house all here say together that his mercy endures forever. Let us individually and collectively say that Yahweh is on our side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Psalm 119. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear Yahweh say that his mercy endures forever. I called upon Yahweh in distress, and Yahweh answered me and set me in a large place. Yahweh is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Yahweh takes my part with them that help me. Therefore I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched at the fire, as the fire of thorns, and for the name of Yahweh I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fail, but Yahweh helped me. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise Yahweh. The gate of Yahweh into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art my salvation. The stone which the builder refused to become the headstone of the corner, this is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, Yahweh. Yahweh, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. God is Yahweh, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So what is the answer? What can we pass on to each of you? First, wisdom from above begins with an understanding that human life is a matter of divine toleration by Yahweh's own purpose, not because of anything that we deserve. Do we understand that to be correct? Human life is a matter of divine toleration by Yahweh's own purpose, not because of anything that we deserve. Our time should be spent discovering the evidence of this through an examination of Yahweh's creation and his continued works in our lives and the affairs of the world. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It is better to trust Yahweh than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. Finally, who of all these does not know that Yahweh's hand has done this, in whose hand is the life of all living things and the breath of every human being? Thank you.